This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
We do, David. So on the line at the moment, we have artist Lorraine Connolly Northey, who is part of an exhibition called Found and Gathered with the art of Rosalie Gascoigne as well. Lorraine, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Lorraine, could you tell us a little bit about the kind of work you do? Because I've seen some of it and it looks like you've collected things from all over the place to create it. What's your background in art?
Oh, no, I don't really have any background. I certainly did very well, I believe, at school. So I don't have any training after school or that kind of stuff. So it's a bit of self-taught and I think I've got to thank my parents for letting me have lots of hands-on experiences, and you become good with your hands. And it's nice that you say I collect. You know, I've become known as a scavenger, which sounds a bit more ruthless, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Like, so, do you walk along the side of the road with a bag and just picking stuff up? Or, you know, like, do you do?
I know. I think I'd end up picking up McDonald's stuff, wouldn't I? McDonald's stuff KFC,
yeah,
wouldn't I?
You wouldn't want that.
No.
Yeah.
I think mine's much more serious. The scavenging that you know, like, I, because initially I am walking country. I am doing something different. I'm doing a whole cultural thing. And when I'd be coming across these old dumps, it reminded me of when my dad used to take me out living off the land with siblings, and we would take in old dumps where Dad would actually get secondhand parts from that, being a farmer himself. Yeah. And that's what they had, was that, you know, that rubbish and decaying rubbish, creating beautiful patinas down in the old empty dam. And, you know, that was their spare parts department, of course, and thank goodness they knew what to do with that. And so that was this wonderful skill I'd learnt from my dad as a child, and then coming back, you know, going away and doing my own life for 15 probably years, but then, you know, some 30 years later going back out bush with Dad, who happens to be the non-Aboriginal parent, which is another interesting take on that. But going back out and taking in these old dumps again, while I was trying to find reputable plant material to weave, you know, but Dad would always insist we had to take a bit of the old dump in, which was frustrating me a lot. But, you know, you've got to do what your parents say, don't you, even when you're an adult.
You're a good girl. You're a good girl. Hey... So where did it all then begin for you? You know, like with all the weaving and with all your little bits and pieces that you use. Where did the inspiration come from? Where was it, or was it just a gradual progression?
Yes, I think it's your whole life. I think that's exactly the thing, that, you know, back to Mum and Dad, you know, and getting the opportunity to, you know, I don't think I'm a pestering child. What was a pestering child? I think I was just that child that really wanted to get in, have a go at things all the time. And even at work, I would, even as a public servant, I would push to finish my work so I could learn a new skill, a new task. So I think that's a bit to do with it. But your parents are certainly letting you have a go because you're there and wanting to have a go. And I was pretty lucky that I was good at it. You know, Mum would let me. As a teenager, Mum would let me finish her work if she went to the shop, and yet I have an older female sibling, younger ones, but Mum let me continue her work. So that when you grow up, you think, gee, that was pretty good that Mum accepted my standard of work within her work. Mm. You know, there was a craft, an object that she was selling, and so, you know, I was able to do that. And then growing up, you know, single parenting with children, is trying to work out what you can do that where you're not putting out much money but you're able to make some money. What have you got? Working out your talents. And so, you know, I'd already been dabbling for roughly like 20 years before I've been exhibiting for the last 20. So all that dabbling time certainly just builds on what you've been doing as a child, all those wonderful opportunities. And as an Aboriginal family, you know, you have many, many people and many extended family, and you have a lot of hands-on opportunities rather than if you're Mum, Dad, and you know, a son and a daughter.
Yeah. Now, do you actually call yourself a weaver, or is there another term that you use about yourself?
I'm sure people call me lots of things, but I do like to
But say, don't call me late for dinner, that's all.
Yes. I really did, I started to, I tried to work out what I would make first in all the objects I wanted to make to represent traditional Aboriginal Australian society. And I decided the easiest one would be to go with these bags. And so, I did get labelled the bag lady, so that's something, isn't it?
Well,
so I've had to deal with that. Yeah, that kind of kind of name.
And describe
but weaving.
But describe to our listeners, when you say bag, what sort of bags are you producing?
So, as a contemporary artist, I'm doing my take, on objects that represent traditional Aboriginal society. So the bush bag, I know some people. Well, most people seem to, they know they're famous, well, very popular for a bush bowl coolerman and for a string bush bag, they'll use dilly bag, but they know they are words of other language groups within Aboriginal Australia. So, you do, the more you change what you're doing, I like to think people realise that you're learning more as you go along. And so I'm making the now interpretations of bush bags and not calling them dilly bags because it's another tribal boundaries language. And I'm also looking at things like this is bush bag or a fibre bag, because that's what they were usually made of, string bag. So that's my in the now. So of course people come along to an exhibition and expect to see, for example, I also make cloaks. I remember a group of elderly women come along excited to see my possum skin cloaks that I'd made, and when they came they were absolutely shocked that there was not one possum skin to be seen, and they were quite disgusted at that fact, and in fact they left.
Why?
And that was from the gallery, Gabriel Pease gallery. Well, right. Well, they came with expectations.
Oh, okay.
And didn't understand the whole thing about contemporary. They were looking for what the word said, but it is contemporary.
Right. Yep.
Contemporary take on it. Like,
You're
I'm very fortunate to get out of using the animal. I'm not using the actual animal, and it is awkward. It's uncomfortable to be taking things like possums and using them. I think particularly when we don't need to be using things like cloaks to protect us nowadays.
Now, what is it like? Here you are, how special are you? And we're so honoured that we're talking to you. You're part of this exhibition at the NGV, Melbourne's famous National Gallery of Victoria, and here you are, exhibiting. How special is that for you?
Oh, yes, it's pretty exciting. Well, I've got to say thank you to Rosalie Dascoin, don't I? Like 10 years ago, I went in an exhibition with a group of people, all iconic artists except myself. That was a bit weird, but I wasn't saying no to that. Where they paired up Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, I did get to get paired up with Rosalie Dascoin, and that was through the... I've got to think about that. But, so I was pretty excited. It's in the middle of my career, 20 years exhibiting with Rosalie here, and here I am again another 10 years later in a pairing. So, yes, thank you to the NGV, isn't it, for pairing us up. It can be a bit of a man's world. So isn't it exciting to have not just one male, one female, but in this one we're both female. So that's pretty exciting. We've come a long way.
Yeah. And where do you see yourself in the next few years with your art form? What is there one thing that you'd like to achieve?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm getting a bit older now. People are starting to call me auntie, and then I'm becoming known as a senior artist. I'm a little bit in denial, I'm sure, about that. But anyway, I'm doing that kind of thing, and it's so... Mum does teach us, you only live for the next 5 minutes. This is Aboriginal cultural way. You just don't know what the next 5 minutes brings. And I think the ultimate thing would be me actually weaving with wire. So traditionally weaving with wire. So I've been doing lots of work and experiments on that over the time, and I'm certainly looking forward to having an exhibition to do with, you know, I think showing my weaving with wire, because when I did get introduced to or have a go at weaving, I don't think there's any point in reinventing the wheel. You know, we have our old girls weaving magnificent, beautiful stuff across Australia. So what was the point in competing with that? And so, you know, I was certainly looking to be to stand out. You know, I wanted people, when they saw my work, to know that that's my work. There's no doubt about that. That's nobody else's.
Mm.
And so certainly that introduced me to those other materials.
Yeah.
Clicked in those materials.
But what about the wire, though? It, you know, like, how thick is the wire? You know, like, you're wearing gloves. Do you have to use other equipment to, you know, like, to weave the wire? It's quite complex, I could imagine.
Yes, well, the wire. Well, it's interesting, when I was filmed by the NGV years ago, and I had a look at the film, and I said, "Oh, I don't like that bit where I'm, you know, pushing my whole body into and against and reshaping that form with my body." And Judith Ryan, the senior curator of the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Arts at NGV, was saying, "Well, that was the best bit about the film." And I said, "Oh," I was a bit shocked. I had to leave that bit in. So it is interesting how you use your whole body. You do get quite obsessed about the whole thing of undertaking a piece of work. And things like, I don't wear gloves. I have lots of rules that I've created for myself, and many of them are to do with my twisted way, for like, of earning to do what I do, because so many interruptions have happened where we don't have language handed down, we don't have our cultural knowledge handed down, and sadly, you know, probably 90% of the wonderful knowledge I do have, you know, really getting into it for probably the last 34 years, sadly, probably like 90% has come from books, and the other 10% is pretty precious, because that's from, you know, word of mouth from family and friends.
Yeah. Hey.
So, yeah, I'm not using big, heavy cogs and things like that. You know, I'm not doing what, you know, every second town, there's somebody making this kind of stuff with rusty old cogs and panels of rusted tin and whatever, that kind of, that's not me. I'm certainly not that. That's not me. I'm way different to that. Right. Bit unusual, but different. But I think that's good. That makes me very distinguished.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I also think it's you know, like you said, you're getting a bit older now, and here you are. You're taking yourself and, well, hey, you said it, not me. I'm the one that said it.
I'm just laughing that you brought it back up again. That was all.
Oh, okay. No, well, there's a reason. There's a reason. But, you know, like, and you said that you want to start using the wire and all to weave, and it's a lot more harder to do it. Yeah, you know, so you're pushing yourself a little bit harder for your art, which is a great thing. I think it's a lovely thing.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm down by the river. The car's gone past. Sorry about that.
All right. Hey, I just heard a magpie before as well, which was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. No, look, I'm always pushing myself hard. I work very hard and, you know, just doing and making what I always thought was crude art to begin with, where, you know, not having anything to cut anything and still I won't cut anything something. I've got to get someone to cut something for me. But trying to work around not having to cut things, and I'm really looking forward to going back to that, where I'm not having to get someone to get an angle grinder and cut this or cut that. I'm trying to work with what I actually find, and so if things are not in neat in shape, bad luck, that's how it's going down. Yeah. But I'm always weaving, I'm referencing weaving. You know, all this time I've been referencing the weave, but trying to work out my own stitching weaving, if you like. But I think the ultimate will be, you know, doing actual traditional weave with the wire rather than just referencing the whole thing about weaving, and that's why my work is seen as weaving. Mm. But to do that and to also mix it up with some fibre, because, you know, I do want to unload through my artwork, you know, not only the cultural knowledge I've been unloading through work, but, you know, all the other information I've learned about many plants, you know, English plants to keep Dad happy, but in particular I'm interested in plants for Aboriginal usage, and so again my work will be very distinguished, mixing those together, and, you know, it's mixing my cultures, it's mixing Mum and Dad. I'm always trying to keep me in the good books and keep Mum and Dad happy. Not that they really know what I'm up to. So that's an interesting thing, that they don't know what I'm really doing. But that doesn't matter, it's okay.
Now, the exciting thing is that the NGV is opening this coming week because obviously people haven't been able to get in and see your exhibition. So it's now going to be open until the 20th of February. So, you know, like, were you lucky enough to see it before we went into lockdown, or didn't you see the exhibition?
No, not at all. And, you know, all the pieces have been, have been borrowed, have been lent for the work. Although I did insist, I am a bit painful, I did insist on making one new work because in Melbourne, you know, for Swan Hill where I'm born and raised, Melbourne is the big smoke, and it's Melbourne where I've gone to, even though I'm sitting on mum's country now in New South Wales. Melbourne's been the big smoke that certainly the fans have certainly supported me and looked after me. And they've come along to see what work I've made freshly, because in an early exhibition, I was really disappointed at this work that had a really old date on it. And I thought, what's wrong with that artist? Why haven't they made new, fresh work? What, I'm never going to do that. But of course, later on, I found out how lucky I was to be in an exhibition with this old work, this famous old work. But anyway, I've learned that the hard way and continue to make fresh work for the exhibitions. And people would come along in Melbourne specifically to see what I'd knocked up new.
Yeah.
So I was just saying, I'm going to insist on making a new piece, you know, for that Melbourne audience that comes to see my fresh work. And so I have made a 16-metre duck net, incorporating a couple of big old gum trees and some nets strung across that, trying to help people see, you know, that we made nets to like a metre drop and 100 metres long, and wrapping them around these trees going across Anna branches, you know, certainly not the big river that counts, you know, it's just too hard. And then looking at the Australian grey teal, the duck, the brown duck, and then cutting out lots of ducks and things like that for that work. So, no, I haven't got to see any of that. That was hung in conjunction with me over the phone because of COVID.
Yeah.
So I will get, of course, I've been able to cheat some cheat sheets at the curator. Miles Russell Cook has sent me the layout, so I've got to see for the first time many of Rosie Gascoigne's works, because it's not something that I'm into. I'm into my own, working my own art out before anybody else's. So it was lovely to see the works of hers that will go on the show, and how mine will be placed next to hers. And I think it's quite a respectable show, considering that Rosalie's not with us anymore. So I think it's really I think it's pretty spectacular. I was a bit concerned my works are so big that I was overshadowing Rosalie, but no, I'd only thought that for a moment, and then thought, no, her works are so powerful, what do I worry about that? You know, Rosalie's she's in a good place.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today. And I'm looking forward to seeing your part of the exhibition. It is called Found and Gathered, and it's at NGV in Fed Square.
Yes.
Right. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you. You're welcome. Thanks for the chat. Okay.
Thanks very much. We've been talking to Lorraine Connolly Northey here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.